This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Farrah and Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, Cars.com, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Now, the Jaguars get the victory 17-3. They start the second half of the season the same way they started the first, with a division win. Hope the second half continues a little bit better than the first did.
Keep it going.
Jaguars got it done today behind 114 yards rushing from Maurice Jones-Drew and from a very opportunistic defense. Made a bunch of plays against a terrible offense in the Indianapolis Colts. Colts offense has just been absolutely brutal this year. But a lot of guys made plays. It wasn't always pretty. But in the third quarter, I think maybe the key play in the game, Marco Coleman, was a penalty against the Indianapolis Colts.
The hands,
illegal hands to the face.
Stopped
kept the drive going.
Yeah.
And
the sack.
Part of a 16-play, 86-yard drive. And the Jaguars scored the game, the go-ahead touchdown. I guess you can call it the game-winning touchdown. Ultimately, it was 10-3 at that point after Jared Dillard hauled in an 11-yard touchdown pass from Blaine Gabbert. But hey, you got to take the advantage of opportunities when they're given to you, and the Jaguars didn't do much of that in the first half. That third quarter got a little bit of an offensive rhythm going.
Really, for the first time, you're seeing the defense actually win a game. I mean, you talk about how good the defense has been all season.
Won't give that to the Baltimore game?
I don't want to say they did. Not really. Baltimore played bad. No, but they legitimately, this game, completely manhandled this Indianapolis Colts offense.
As they should have. I mean, you're a top five defense playing against the worst offense in the league. You should do that, right?
They did exactly what they were supposed to do, as advertised.
Maurice Jones-Drew, every time he plays Indianapolis, big numbers. It appeared that maybe somebody was listening to our halftime comments about keeping him in there when in the red zone and third down. Key times, they had him in the ball game, and he made plays.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. This guy accounts for, over 60% of the offense. So if you're not having him in the game, you're really not going to have any offensive production. The wide receivers you see on scrambles with Gabbert, he can't look downfield to throw the ball because nobody knows how to work to get open. And then catching the ball. Again, Marcellus Lewis, issues with catching the ball. Without Maurice Jones-Drew, don't know if they'd have any offense at all.
You know, one of the big keys to the second half of the season is going to be about how Blaine Gabbert develops. But as part of that is going to be, can he find other players? Can he find guys to contribute? Either guys to play better than they did in the first half. Mercedes Lewis had a drop, still continues to struggle. But Chasten West had three catches. Looks like they're finding a role from him on kind of that slant route, kind of the sort of thing we saw out of Mike Sims-Walker quite a bit once upon a time. Chasten able to make some plays. Jarrett Dillard had the touchdown today, his first NFL touchdown.
And giving him more opportunities. You figure like in the two-minute drill, here it is, you ran Maurice Jones-Drew all the way down the field. You didn't throw the ball. I think maybe one pass in the – I don't even think they threw a pass in the two-minute drill. I had to go back and look again. But you don't give him enough opportunities to become a better quarterback. Yep. Now, offensively, the offensive coordinators, right now you got to give him some chances to get better. If he doesn't throw the ball, how can he get better at throwing the ball?
I came into this ballgame saying it was a no-lose situation in some ways for the Jaguars because, if you assume that Andrew Luck is as good as folks believe he is, there has not been a quarterback as highly thought of coming out of college or talked about in quite some time. Do you go back to John Elway? Maybe. Manning was not the consensus number one pick. It was he or Ryan Leaf. There's a lot of conversation there, but you may have to go back as far as John Elway to come up with somebody who was clearly the number one guy. But you never know how a guy's going to play out. Injuries, performance, adjustment, whatever else.
Coaching.
Coaching. It's a great point. The Jaguars needed this win. A loss today, this was almost – it was better to not lose than it was good to win today.
Exactly. They needed – just for some momentum. Coming out of the bye week, especially having Terrence Knighton out, you got Campman out. Now you got Rasheen out. Now the team knows that they can get things done still without some of the marquee players that they actually need, especially on defense that's been carrying them up until this point. So getting this win is going to definitely help their psyche going up to Cleveland.
And that's the next road game against a Cleveland team. Quite frankly, you'd say the Jaguars should have more talent than Cleveland. Cleveland's been struggling. They should win that. Certainly there's the opportunity here, and we were looking at – again, I don't want to oversell this and say this win means the Jaguars are back in the AFC South race. That's too big a jump. Houston looking very good today against Tampa. But there's a much tougher schedule for Houston. The Texans sort of have the Jaguars' first-half schedule, and the Jaguars kind of have the Texans' first-half schedule in the second half. And so there's some opportunity. If the Jaguars can get the offense just playing to an average level, they'll have some opportunities to win some ball games and you know.
With some luck. You also have to consider Tennessee. Now, yep. Tennessee now will be above 500, and they move closer to making it and putting themselves in a position just as much as the Texans. I think they may have to face one another again. So there's also another opportunity for the Titans.
All right, let's head to the locker room where Jeff Loggeman has the coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Jeff standing by with Jack Del Rio.
All right, thank you, Cole. And Jack, certainly, I don't want to say a big win, but a win you always want to get when you play the division opponent, especially at their place in the Indianapolis Colts, whether it's Peyton Manning at quarterback or not, it doesn't matter.
No, we had to have a win. Our second half, we talked about it. We've stuck together. We're playing hard. We're counting on each other. We're a football team that's very much dialed in, and we needed to start the second half with a win, come up here in the division and get one. You know, happy for the guys, put a smile on their face, and looking forward to, you know, getting the rest of the second half underway and start next week up in Cleveland.
Defensively, 5 sacks, 2 interceptions. You had one that was called back because of a penalty, and certainly the play of Jeremy Mincy with the sack calls fumble to kind of close the game out to make it over for the most part was certainly big.
Yeah, it was big to come up with a stop, turnover in that situation. You know, you got a touchdown lead, defense, go out there and do your job and not just hang on, but make a game-closing kind of play right there. And then, you know, offensively, don't just settle for the field goal. Go ahead and pound it in there and get that touchdown. So glad to see the way we finished there with a little style.
Maurice, every game he continues to amaze me. I mean, looking at his numbers, 137 total yards, 114 on the ground, 23 receiving. But what may be more impressive is that 31 division games, 31 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a special guy. I tell you what, he's amazing heart and will to compete. You know, one of the plays to me of the game, you know, was that I think it was 10. It was third and at least 10. It might have been more. And you know, we get the ball to him with a little bit of space, and he makes a couple people miss and just strains his gut and gets the first down by an inch. You know, and that kind of play right there, you know, on the stat sheet. Doesn't give it credit for what the kind of game-changing play that was. That was an awesome football play, sheer will, and you know, just makes me proud to watch that kind of play.
Kind of a rough start for the young quarterback, but comes back, throws a touchdown pass to Jarrett Dillard, and was able to put some things together. But it took a while.
We might just have to start going with high degree of difficulty plays only, because the easy ones he's really not clicking on. I mean, he's. You know, we're working at it. He's working at it, you know. But there's some easy opportunities that we kind of aren't connecting on yet. And that part's a little bit frustrating, but we'll keep rolling. And, you know, when you run the ball like that, play defense like that, you're going to win.
The one concern, Rasheen Mathis goes down, grabs his knee. I'm not a medical doctor, but I know what doctors do when they check for an ACL. Anything to report on Rasheen?
No, other than there was concern, he, you know, felt something there, went down, you know, and was not able to return. So on that, I would only be guessing. I know that there will be an MRI to kind of tell us what we need to know. And I just, you know, have my fingers crossed, saying some prayers, hoping for the best, because obviously he's a good football player and he's having a real good year. And, you know, during this second half, we would love to have every good ball player available, and so we're just going to hope, you know, hold out hope until we, you know, find out exactly what it is. But, you know, obviously that was a pretty substantial injury to keep him out.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff, thank you.
All right, there you heard the coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers, and the injury update by Brooks Rehabilitation as part of our Winn-Dixie post-game show. Jaguars win 17-3 here over Indianapolis, and are now 3-6 on the season, and they've got their sights set on the Cleveland Browns next week in Cleveland. Well, fans, you can text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. We're back with more Winn-Dixie post-game show from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, when we return on Jaguars Radio. Welcome Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Jaguars win 17-3, and a big reason why, the defense. 5 sacks, 3 takeaways, 2.5 of those sacks from Jeff Loggeman's guest right now in the locker room. Jeff?
Jeremy, certainly a big game for you guys defensively, a game against a team that you knew was struggling offensively, and defensively your offense is struggling, and certainly the sacks and the takeaways played a huge part in the victory.
Definitely. We just wanted to set the tone early. As we were studying film, the guys actually can run the ball really well, and they started out on a good note, and we had to make some adjustments and came out there with some intensity and stepped up, started playing some football.
I was on a pregame television radio show with Will Wolford, former offensive lineman, was one heck of an offensive lineman. He asked me before the game, who is this Jeremy Mincy guy? You think you let him know today, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I was focused. I'm on a mission, man. The rest of the year, man, I'm going to try to put my best foot forward and keep giving the same showing, man. I'm working on my consistency so I can step my game up a level.
I think the challenge for you guys defensively, at least in my mind, sometimes when you have an offense that's struggling, trying to find its way, is to maintain focus, and you guys were able to do that today.
Oh, definitely. We definitely feed off each other. When Mo breaks some big runs, man, that get us fired up to get out there and play some defense, and then we end up putting some points on the board. So that kind of opened us up to rush the passer good and be kind of confident and comfortable in our positions.
How different was this game going in with no Peyton Manning compared to games in the past where you knew you had Peyton Manning as far as the game plan and the complexity of the offense that you faced?
It gives you a chance. Peyton get rid of the ball, whether it's complete or incomplete. Peyton get rid of the ball, and Painter was back there patting on it a little bit too long, and we just out-executed him, and we was sharp, man. You know, we knew he's a new guy, and he was limited on certain plays he can run, so guys were just anticipating well and just prepared well. We just prepared really well for this week.
All right, congratulations, Jeremy.
Thank you, man.
All right, that's Jeremy Mincy, who had 2.5 sacks, a career high. He has 4.5 on the season and leads the Jaguars, who got 5 sacks today for 21 on the season. And the pass rush, again, lacks that big name that everyone wants to talk about. But Jeremy Mincy brings it every single week. John Chick had 0.5 sack today. There were a bunch of guys who contributed in the pass rush. And I went back and started looking. I don't have the final number, but I'll tell you, the Jaguars did not have 5 sacks in the 8 games that I looked at when you're talking about the Jaguars and the Colts with Peyton Manning as their quarterback. So a strong performance, taking advantage of the circumstances today. And Jeremy Mincy certainly is worthy of our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. They're the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. And now the quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, joins us with Jeff Loggeman from the locker room. Jeff?
Well, Blaine, you got to be excited no matter how you get it. Second career win on the road against a division opponent.
Yeah, that was a big win for our team, and we started the second half of the season the way we wanted to. We wanted to come in here against a divisional opponent on the road and come out with a victory, and our team played well, but we definitely got things to improve on.
You guys kind of started out a little bit slow. I was talking to Jack a few minutes ago. He said, you know, the one thing that we've got to do offensively, and certainly with Blaine, is to make the easy stuff be easy. And he said, or otherwise, we're going to have to just have things be hard for me. He said, because you made the hard throws today and some of the easy stuff you kind of let get away.
Yeah, just it's all about being consistent, and we're working on that. And but at the end of the day, we won. That's all that matters. And we're going to watch the film. We definitely have things to correct and iron out, but a win is a win.
I thought offensively that your 2 tackles and also at times backs and tight ends did a pretty good job against Freeney and Mathis. I mean, 2 extremely talented guys that can make it tough on a quarterback.
They did a phenomenal job all day long, and we worked hard on that, and they stepped up today. They got 2 elite pass rushers, potential Hall of Fame guys, and they handled them all day long.
Congratulations, Blaine. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Blaine Gabbert finishes today, completing 14 of 21 passes for 118 yards. He had the interception early in the ball game, and the third quarter touchdown pass to Jarrett Dillard, and his passer rating 77.1. The leading rusher, Maurice Jones-Drew, 25 carries, 114 yards. That's 4.6 per carry and a touchdown. And the leading receiver, Chasten West, 3 receptions for 39 yards. Jarrett Dillard had 2 for 30 in the score. Deji Kareem had 3 for 25. Maurice had 3 for 23. Mike Thomas had 1 reception for 1 yard. Mercedes Lewis had 1 for a loss of 4 yards. And when you look at the Jaguars' offense, if they're going to turn things around, Mike Thomas and Mercedes Lewis have got to get going. Loggeman is back in the locker room with Jaguars center Brad Meester, who next week, with a start in Cleveland, will tie Jimmy Smith with his 171st start in a Jaguars uniform. Logs.
Thank you, Brian. And Brian just talked about next week you'll get your 171st start. You're going to tie Jimmy Smith. But at this point, you're probably not even thinking about that. It feels good to get a win, doesn't it?
There's no doubt. There's nothing better than a win. And we know we definitely needed one. We wanted to start the second half of the season off on the right track. And we were able to do that today, especially doing that on the road in the division. It's a great way to start the second half.
Probably didn't feel that way at the very beginning of the ballgame, did it?
No, that's not the way you want to. We emphasize starting fast, and we've got to continue to do better at that. But, you know, our defense does a great job, and you kept us in there. And really, when we got out there that second half and that drive that we had, that long drive, that's what we're aiming for. We got to continue to do that more often. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to get after is that consistency of those long drives and scoring touchdowns.
And keep letting the young quarterback grow. There's one thing that there's no doubt. He is competitive as all get out.
There's no doubt. He's a very competitive guy. And that huddle, man, he takes control. And for us, you know, up front, we just got to continue to give him more time, make him feel comfortable, and, you know, let him do his thing because he's got a heck of an arm.
I thought the play of the game for you guys offensively, not counting the penalty that they had hands to the face, but later in that ball game, Maurice had that little screen play to the right side, made a guy miss, great vision, gets to the outside, reaches the ball out, and gets the first down. What a huge play by a great player.
Definitely. He does an unbelievable job. I mean, in the backfield, running the ball to screens like that, just making huge plays, and you know, just that awareness to go get that first down was huge. I mean, it was huge for that drive, and was huge for our momentum.
All right, congratulations. Thank you, Brad.
All right, thank you.
All right, this portion of the Winn-Dixie postgame show brought to you by Cars.com. You've got the Jaguars numbers. Painter was 13 of 19 for 94 yards and 2 picks, passer rating 40.1. Orlovsky came in, 7 of 10, 67 yards, and he had the fumble. Donald Brown led the way on the ground, 14 carries, 53 yards. Jaguars hold the Colts to only 84 yards rushing. And receiving, the leading receiver was Jacob Tammy with 6 catches for 75 yards, most of those coming on that final drive. Austin Colley came alive in the third quarter and into the fourth with 4 catches for 31 yards. Garcon, 3 for 30. Reggie Wayne, 3 for 13. And so the Jaguars come away with a win because they shut down an offense. Again, Peyton Manning's not here. It's an injured ball club, no Dallas Clark. But for a 2-6 team to come up and get a win on the road and start the second half with a win, 7 games left to play, that is exactly what Jack Del Rio's football team needed. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Budweiser, who reminds you that great times are waiting, and please designate a driver. Jaguars began the third quarter with the ball, 3-and-out. Punt, Colts go 3-and-out. They get a good punt, though, and they put the ball down at the Jaguars' 14-yard line. And so here comes the drive, and at one point it looked like it was over when Robert Mathis got around Guy Wimper and apparently had a sack. However, there was a penalty on defensive tackle Tyler Brayton for illegal hands to the face. Jaguars get new life, 1st and 10 near midfield, and they march down. This was a 16-play drive that covered 9 minutes and 40 seconds and gave the Jaguars a 10-3 lead. Turned out that was all they would need. But on 3rd down at the 12-yard line, 3rd and 3, you're thinking, man, if they go for a field goal here, this thing is going to get ugly. And on 3rd down and 3 at the 12-yard line, Blaine Gabbert ensured that it would not get ugly. 3rd down and about 3 inside the 12-yard line of the Colts. Gabbert under center, drops the throw, quickly launches a pass. He's got him in! Touchdown! Jared Dillard's got his first NFL score, and the Jaguars lead 9-3. They'd grab another touchdown in the fourth quarter, and that'd be the final, 17-3 in Indianapolis. That's our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Budweiser, who reminds you that great times are waiting. Please designate a driver. Big thanks to Johnny Dineen from Atlantic Beach, Florida, making the trip up to Indianapolis as our spotter and co-producer here. Let's see, the good folks at CopyFax. Jason DeFore and his team, the only and exclusive provider of business machines to the Jaguars. They print our game charts each and every week. I want to thank Scott Kushner, our engineer on site, for keeping us on track. And, of course, Where would we be without Joe Fortunato, the executive producer of Jaguars Football on Radio? Cole is next with Marco Coleman and their entire crew, and we will send it back to them. Final score, final time from Indy, 17-3. Jaguars get their first road win of the season. Good night, everybody. You've been listening to the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Now from Jaguars Central, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Jaguars win it 17-3 over the Indianapolis Colts. Or are they the Dolts?
They're definitely not.
So this is my first chance to watch the Colts front to back of a full game. I've seen bits of games and a half here and a quarter here and so forth, some of the nationally broadcast games. There's been a lot of talk about the Colts, you know, tanking to try to get the first pick of the draft. I don't see a lack of effort on the part of the players at all. I see some questionable approaches from some of the, in terms of execution and maybe even tactics. They don't have enough good players, Marco. This is a team that has not drafted well enough for long enough.
That's what prior to the game, their roster is not good, especially with the guys that they have sitting on this. You take the guys that are on that sideline out of the game, which, of course, we see without them.
Peyton Manning, Gary Brackett.
They're bad.
And Bob Sanders gone.
They really are bad. And I think a big to-do also is the coaching. You figure you're missing, you know, the head coach was a very big part of it. Caldwell, I don't think, also is the guy that can get that
but
done
he's,
for him.
Caldwell's fine if you have Peyton Manning in there, right, as we saw last year.
I think they still would be an average team with Caldwell.
Yeah, they were undefeated through, what was it, 13 games with Caldwell?
As much as, you know, Peyton Manning is coming out and he is directing traffic on the offense, you still need a leader. You still need someone that heads the team. And if you don't have a head coach that has enough respect from the rest of the – if the quarterback has more respect from the team than the head coach, you got some problems.
Yeah, well, and that may be part of the issue there too. Although I'm told that Caldwell is well respected, well liked there, but it's Peyton Manning, and he's got a whole different kind of aura about it.
There's a lot of guys I can talk about in this NFL that I like. Now, are they good at what they do? That's a whole different thing.
Right. Well, you do need to be well respected as a coach, or either need to be respected or feared, right?
You need to be respected as a coordinator, maybe not a head coach, because you're leading men. I mean, you are at the forefront. That was one thing you can say about Jack. Maybe things haven't been going the way you like the record to go, but the guys respect him. He is he is in control of the team. You know what I mean? So there is the respect factor. I'm not sure the Caldwell has that same type of respect with those players.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any kind of bad today I didn't see guys laying down or mailing it in on the Colts. It just not very good. It's just a bad team.
Well, you know, not only for the Colts, but for the Jaguars too, with teams with these type of records, this film is going to be distributed. Everybody's going to see it. So if you want to stay in this NFL, regardless of what the record is, you got to come out and perform each and every week, or you won't have a job long in the NFL. Now, again, that same film, you're going to possibly have new coaches. So now when they come and they review, who should we keep? Who is the guy that's going to be there regardless of what the record says? Who's going to play hard just because he loves football?
In mind, with both the Jaguars and the Colts, it's not the coach who's determining – you know, who's staying on the team, right? The roster is in charge, is handled by Bill Polian in Indianapolis, Gene Smith here in Jacksonville. So it may not have this exact same. Still, that's the guy. He's watching you. And he doesn't have to come in and review all the film. He's watching it on a week-to-week basis. He knows what's going on.
But you still have the coach to determine who's going to be on the field.
That's true.
You got 53 guys for this coach to choose from. Just because Bill Polian or Gene Smith like those guys, that doesn't mean that guy fits what that coach wants to do.
All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, we'll talk about the offense today. Not an impressive top to bottom. First half was awful. Second half, a little better. We'll talk about if the Jaguars can use it as a little bit of a springboard offensively going forward to the rest of the second half of the season. GEICO can help you save on more than just car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO for a free quote on motorcycle, renter's insurance, and more. And don't worry, GEICO will not throw a flag for excessive celebration. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars' third victory of the season right here on Jaguars Radio. You can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Texans game on November 27th from Gate. 4 game day tickets, 4 VIP Sky Patio Lounge passes, and a limo for 4. To and from the game, stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. All right, Marco, let's talk about the offense today. Blaine Gabbert, at one point in the first half, he had a quarterback rating of around 8.6. Let me just review this. That's not very good. But he finishes the game much better, 77.1 quarterback rating, completing 14 of 21 for 118 yards. If you think about it, 14 of 21, had at least one drop, maybe two. So from an accuracy standpoint, he had a couple of these. In a short one, you just go, what in the world is he doing? Where is he throwing it? Jack Del Rio's right. The short stuff is giving him more trouble than the stuff, you know, the tougher throws, the slants and the fades and that sort of thing.
Well, unfortunately, they don't have wide receivers that can go downfield and make some really tough catches. They had some of these guys that you see.
And yet today they did, though. I mean, you know, they caught the ball.
They played against one of the worst teams on defense that you could possibly see. I mean, they won the game. They should have won this game. You know, they are a better team. Mm-hmm. But that's not saying a whole lot against a team that's winless.
All right, but I'm looking at the big picture here. Not just – I'm saying, what does this one game mean in the big picture?
Nothing.
Nothing at all for Blaine Gabbert, for a young quarterback to win on the road?
77 quarterback rating, top 10 pick. Come on.
You were tough.
I mean, we're too deep in the season at this point.
You don't think this does anything at all?
This did nothing. Sorry. This did nothing for me. I was not impressed at all with what took place against – the worst team in the NFL.
Okay, so what could he have done today to impress you?
He could have made some passes that were easy to make. The little pass that you talked about to Osgood.
Yeah.
In the first half, he didn't look well. He was another thing that he needs to do better. Instead of just running, keeping his eyes downfield, he was able to evade the rush on a couple of different occasions where there was absolutely no one by him. He did not look downfield. He just took off and ran. There was opportunities there possibly that he could make some plays down the field.
Okay, I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you that he had a great first half. But in the second half, plays much better. And for the game, he has 7 incomplete passes. At least one was a drop, maybe two.
How many of them were screens? How many of them were wide receiver deals? I mean, it's not like he's throwing the ball far.
But wouldn't you much rather, given the opportunity for a young quarterback, if he can only make the dump down and can't make the play down the field, wouldn't you rather see him be the way it is here? Because you figure, hey, you know he physically can make that throw, right? I mean, there's no doubt that he's got the arm to get the ball to a wide receiver screen.
We'll get those throws done. We'll make those throws.
Okay, I'm looking at growth.
I understand.
You're looking for a finished product,
opportunity that Blaine Gabbert gets to play football is going to help him. But to say whether this win was impressive –
That's not what I said.
Yes, you did.
No.
You asked me, was I impressed with it?
Did this game impress me? Did it show you anything? Anything for you in terms of the big picture and the development?
I'm going to say no. But every game that he gets, I'm going to say that, does nothing but help him get better. But this game, no, it does nothing. Did nothing. He did. I was more impressed with the way he handled himself against the Baltimore Ravens than in this game. This was not difficult. Not at all.
The degree of difficulty against the Ravens. Absolutely. Other end of the spectrum compared to the
Colts.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this was a very inconsistent game for Blaine. After coming, you know, he started the game off slow after having a whole extra week to prepare.
Yep.
So, to say, and now, like I said, again, with a lot of different people, you can't completely put all the blame on Blaine. The wide receivers aren't all that hot. Then I got a question, what are they doing? How are they teaching?
And then
the coaching.
The other side on the offense is the usage of Maurice Drew. Can you find any reason why they would have handled Maurice the way they handled him? I mean, you know, I realize they're trying not to burn him out, but 25 carries and 3 catches should not be too much for a guy in a, you know, week after a bye week. You know, why in the world Maurice Jones-Drew comes out of the ball game on third down or in the red zone or when the Jaguars are driving and he's feeling it? I mean, I get it. Take him out on first down if you want and give him a quick breather after he's had 3 long runs. But after a timeout?
He just had some water, took a knee. He's okay now.
Did he go order a sandwich and had to wait for him to finish putting the mayo on it? I mean, what in the world?
And the plan is to come back. I believe they even came back and ran the ball. They gave the ball to Deji.
Gave it to Deji, yeah.
That absolutely doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know.
I mean, I know a lot of coaches, they come in, they have a designated amount of plays that they want to see a guy get. But come on, with the flow of the game, you're going to have to deviate from that script.
Deji Kareem should not be on the list of guys who have to get X number of plays. Your best players need to have those. Maurice needs to have that.
Exactly.
Mike Thomas needs to have that.
There's a time and a place for Deji Corin.
Sure, when absolutely.
You, the screens, you know, third down.
And they did that a couple of times, got him in space.
But, you know, third down and three, and you run the ball.
Makes me scratch my head. All right, we'll take time out. Talk about the defense when we come back. They keep getting it done. Marco, is he a believer? What's wrong with you?
I am a believer. I am. All right. But it's not too much to be believing against the Colts.
Yeah, we gave up 3 points. All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show with Cole Pepper and the grumpy curmudgeon Marco Coleman. Vic Ketchman Jr. over here when we come back on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back. Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 17-3 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Keep an eye on the only early game going on right now. Overtime in the NFC South between the Falcons and the Saints. How about this? You thought maybe a little bit of Jack Del Rio has rubbed off on Mike Smith. Tied in overtime, of course. 4th-and-1 from their own 29-yard line. The Falcons go for it. Greg Williams' defense of the Saints stuffs Turner, Michael
Turner.
Completely
established a new line of scrimmage.
Yeah, pushed him back, loss of a yard.
That's what I'm talking about.
And now they are basically in field goal range.
See, that's the stuff that gets me excited. When you talk about being grumpy, that's the domination I'm talking about. This is like a heavyweight bout.
Jaguars defense had 5 sacks and 2 interceptions.
They played against the
What would they have done to make you happy?
I'm not impressed because what I am – happy to see is that they went out and played.
Lived up to expectations.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
That's fine.
If you're a top five defense and you play up to expectations every time.
You should have done that.
Sure. And they did.
So to say that's impressive, no. Or to say, got whatever question you ask me. But no, I'm not impressed with beating the Colts. This is not. I was ready for this game to be over.
And thank goodness it was like the fastest game in Jaguars history. I'm not looking for any – I'm not going to pitch here that anything was – quote-unquote, impressive today. But the Jaguars' defense did what you would expect them to do, which is basically dominate a bad offense.
But to be honest with you, there have been teams that aren't in the top five that have done the exact same thing that the Jacksonville Jaguars did. So, you know, again, what they've done was what they were supposed to do, and that's the same that every defense that has faced
they gave up 212 yards today.
Right, but remember, Indianapolis, that's been the case with them for the past 10 weeks.
I'm just saying, again.
I mean, I'm right.
Give them some credit.
I will give them some credit. I'm keeping hope alive, like I said earlier.
You are keeping hope alive.
I want them to go 7-1. I am hoping that they go 7-1 with this roster. I mean, with this schedule. I think they actually have that opportunity. And with some help, I'm looking to be around here in Everbank in January, baby.
There are a couple of guys who just continue to get it done. Darryl Smith and Paul Posluszny. Game in and game out, have just consistent, productive.
You got to throw Mincy in there.
They do it, and I was just about to and say, and now all of a sudden, Mincy, again, against guys who don't get rid of the ball like Peyton Manning does against all, you know, subpar offensive line, but 2.5 sacks, making plays,
and that's been every game.
And he's just turn him on, he just keeps going.
If you think of any guy on that defensive front that has been consistently showing up and making plays and being dominant against not only the pass but against the run also. Yep. Mr. Mincy has been that guy. That's my man. I'm through with Mercedes. I can count on Mincy.
All right, so you have broken up with Mercedes.
I'm done with that guy, all man. Right. I can't believe him.
We had a tweet from a listener who wanted me to tell you that you need to jump off the Mercedes Lewis bandwagon and jump on the Mincy bandwagon. And now you did that before.
I just did that before.
It.
Yeah, that's my guy.
You got it. All right.
I'm straight on Mincy.
You're a Mincy guy.
Yeah, I'm a Mincy bandwagon.
So if anybody's looking for
I've always been rooting for Mincy, man. That's always been a guy. I thought, matter of fact, earlier in the season, I mentioned I thought he was the leader of the defensive line. And you talk about Campman. But I thought being on the field is how you establish yourself as a leader. And him being out there, making plays, being consistent, he's leading that defensive line.
So just in case anybody's wondering what to get Marco for Christmas.
Give me a Mincy.
A Jaguars 94 jersey in
all day.
2X?
3, baby. I'm still stout.
3X plus we just had a big Sonny's Real Pit barbecue lunch here for that'll help. Okay. Jaguars with a win 17-13, then now 3-6 on the year. We'll come back with a Sexton summary, still to come as well. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll also have the coverage of the game and the protector of the game. We continue on the Winn-Dixie postgame show right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars 17-3 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Early on, Jaguars defense knew they were going to be in a position to make some plays, and on the very first Colts drive, they did just that.
The ball just shy of the 19-yard line. Painter to throw, looking left, turns and fires a pass, and this one is intercepted! Picked off by Drew Coleman, and he's down on the ground at the 20, and he slides and tries to get up, and they'll put him down out of bounds at the 18-yard line.
But the Jaguars couldn't take advantage from the 18-yard line. Blaine Gabbert gave the ball right back.
Gabbert on 2nd and 12, play action, steps back into the pocket with time, turns and fires, he's got a man, it's intercepted at the 5-yard line. The Colts have got it back and coming across the field to about the 18-yard line.
Well, part of a really rough first half for Blaine Gabbert in the ballgame today. Each team with only a field goal in the first half, we were tied at 3 at the break. But in the second half, after the Jaguars went 3 plays out on their first play, Indy did the same. And then the Jaguars got the ball and began marching downfield. A third down conversion on a dump off to Deji Kareem. And then on third down, Tyler Brayton, the Colts defensive tackle, called for hands to the face on a play that would have forced a punt. Instead, it kept the drive alive, gave the Jaguars the ball back. They continue moving it downfield. Gabbert scrambled for a first down, then found Mike Thomas on 11-yard end around for 11 yards. Then Chaston West on a quick slant for a first down, and then facing 3rd and 3 from the 11-yard line, the Jaguars finally found Peter.
It's third down at about 3 inside the 12-yard line of the Colts. Gabbert under center, dropped the throw, quickly launches a pass. He's got him in! Touchdown! Jared Dillard's got his first NFL score, and the Jaguars lead 9-3.
And things were looking pretty good for the Jaguars when William Middleton intercepted a pass on the next possession, but it was called back because of a 12-man on the field play. And no worries, Jaguars defense stepped up again.
Now there's the snap. With time, Kenner now pumps and turns and throws. It's intercepted! This time, Puzlesny reached and got it.
Puzlesny with the interception. Jaguars took it back. Couldn't get anything going offensively, so next Indy possession, it was up to the defense yet again.
Olofsky looking left and right, sees Daryl Smith, takes the snap. Pressure coming, he'll get hit. The ball is intercepted! Tyson Alualu's got it! It was knocked away by Mincy, and Alualu took it out of the air, and it's first and goal, Jaguars.
It would go as a forced fumble and a recovery. Ball never touched the ground. Gave the Jaguars the ball at the 8-yard line. So, what do you do? Give it to Mojo. First and goal from the 8. 2 yards. 2nd and goal from the 6. 3 yards. 3rd and goal from the 3.
Lewis starts left, goes right. Lines up outside Guy Wimber. Here's the handoff to Maurice, and he's up the middle. Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Made it a 17-3 ball game, and that was plenty of offense against the woeful Colts. Jaguars with the win, 17-3. That's the Sexton Summary, brought to you by Metro PCS with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll be back with the coverage of the game and the protector of the game as we continue on here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie postgame show. Jaguars with a win, now 3-6. Just as a note, Jaguars will play the Cleveland Browns next week. The Browns are 3-6. The Philadelphia Eagles, the dream team. Marco, you know what their record is?
3-6.
The Washington Redskins, who are going to be the most improved team in the league this year. You know what their record is?
3-6.
Okay. Just noting a couple
There's
of things.
There's a lot of bums out there.
Arizona Cardinals, who are red hot now after winning 2 straight with John Skelton. You know what their record is?
A whopping 3-6.
3-6. Interesting to see the AFC South, or AFC West as well. Kansas City, San Diego, Denver are all 4-5. The Raiders are 4-4 right now, as things stand. So if they lose, then you're looking at everybody at 4-5, and your dream of having an AFC division winner with 7 wins may come true.
May come true.
All right, let's get to the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. What do you got for the coverage of the game?
I think that was an outstanding play by Puz Lesney, reaching out for that interception. That's that to me, nabbing that thing out of the air. And he's been playing pretty good coverage all year long. I didn't realize he was as good a coverage guy, but I see they don't really match him with a guy. They have him cover space, mm-hmm. which he does a really good job of reading the quarterback's eyes and then eye plays, particularly coming up with the interception.
Yeah, again, another good game for Puz Lesney. And the protector of the game brought to you by the Insurance Office of America.
It's surprising here. The guy that I'd already kicked, I've jumped off this bandwagon, but he did a great job of blocking today, opening up some holes and smashing that edge. Mercedes Lewis.
So you didn't totally break up with him.
Yeah, he's
still going to call him every now and again.
He's just Mr. Butterfingers right now, but he can block. He was effective today in blocking. A lot of times when you see Maurice cut the ball back, it's right there where Mercedes has mashed that whole side of the defensive line, all the way in to give him that cutback lane.
I mean, that's really something you have more control over in some regards. If the pass isn't where you need it to be or behind you, but whatever. But when you're blocking,
mm-hmm.
your effort, your technique, that's up to you.
True.
So something that
well, you
Mercedes
also have
prides
control
in
catching the ball when the ball hits you in your hands.
Well, that's just, you don't always know where the ball's going to be, but
if it hits you in the hands,
you should catch it. I'm not. Listen, he's your guy. I'm not. You know.
Oh man, jeez.
Just because you're sending
he's
back
got
your
seven
Mercedes
more games.
Lewis,
he got 7 more weeks to help. It was only well, you said prior. You asked me the question: will he drop?
Yeah, three or fewer.
Three or fewer.
Yeah.
So
he's got 7 games to drop 2 or fewer balls now.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving the benefit of the doubt on the one where it looked like the linebacker came over the top and knocked it away.
Yeah, I think they did knock that away. But the one he had straight, it was a wide pass, but come on, this is the NFL. That's why you get paid the big bucks to make the difficult catches.
It wasn't even that difficult to catch, but
nah, it hit him in the hands.
Somebody order some Stick'Em to 89's locker.
Oh.
All right, we'll take timeout. Back with more, including the good, the bad, and the ugly. After this on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars win it 17-3 over the Indianapolis Colts. Jaguars now 3-6. It is time for Marco Coleman to unfurl the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I tell you, that pass rush, that gun is still smoking the way these guys came. And that's the good thing I saw was, you know, those guys did a really good job in the pass rush. Although it was the Indianapolis Colts, I have to say, they did a really good job. I think it was a big part of why they were so dominant today on defense. Bad, I'm going to have to go to that 2-minute drill in the first half. I mean, really, man, you know, after Maurice Jones-Drew gets 3 first downs running the ball on draws, you know, come on, Indianapolis, who you think is going to get the ball? And then you take MJD out after a timeout. I don't get that. No shots at the end zone. Still had a timeout. Poor use of the time. And then Scobie, tops it all off. Cherry on the top. Misses the field goal.
First time all year.
Oh, my goodness. Come on, guys. And ugly, the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, you know, they're by far the worst team in the NFL right now. I don't think I've seen a team that bad. I mean, I don't even remember. It's been a while. They're really that bad. They're terrible. Terrible. They are definitely in the luck sweepstakes.
They are not just in it. They're in it to win it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they're terrible, where they're going.
They're really bad.
Well, the Jaguars with a victory today. Next week, they'll take on the Cleveland Browns. They'll go to the dog pound and take on the Browns looking for their second straight win and fourth win of the season. And Marco will continue to keep hope alive. The Jaguars
to
win 6 or 7 in the second half and be in the mix. Hey, remember the Jaguars finished the season against the Colts at the end of the year on New Year's Day. In that case, Jaguars need a win for that ball game to make it to the playoffs. This is a long way off.
Hey, it could happen. We're rooting against the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans. Everybody they play for, we want to win.
There you go. All right, stick around. We'll take your calls and comments coming up after the ball game here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Jaguars win it by the count of 17-3. They do what is expected. Go on the road, beat the worst team in the National Football League. They start the second half of the season with a victory. We'll see if it's something they can build on next week. Thanks for listening to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network.